Welcome back to the Bernie Miklas Show, a new one for you on this Wednesday. And thank you for coming to the Bernie Miklas Show, as always, here on YouTube. Please subscribe. Thank you for subscribing. And we're just about at 7,000 subscribers. We keep adding them every week. And I am grateful. So thank you very much for that and for your comments and everything else you do for me. Appreciate it. St. Louis Blues are a lot of fun. Man, have things changed since the coaching change was made by Doug Armstrong. Gosh, a little more than, about 10 days ago or so. But, you know, Jim Montgomery's been in place. The bottom line, he's been in place for four games. And the Blues look like a different team. Now, let me cut something off at the pass. I am well aware of the fact that it is pretty much an NHL tradition when you make a coaching change, and this is one of the reasons why so many owners and general managers make coaching changes. When you boot out a coach and bring in someone else, you can count on a bounce. Bounce the coach out the door, bring in the new coach, you can get a bounce. Your team will respond to the coaching change, not always, but often. We've seen it a bunch of times. They'll respond to the coaching change, and they'll play really well, and everyone get their hopes up, and then all of a sudden, reality kind of levels things out, and the teams kind of get back to who they really are. I think the Jim Montgomery situation is different because of his history here already as an assistant to Craig Berube. Gave him a chance to get to know the players. And they have 15 of those players still here, including many of their best and most important players. And so Jim Montgomery came into this assignment with an existing knowledge of a very big part of the roster. He knew the players' strengths and the weaknesses and the flaws and how to get through to them, how to motivate them, what buttons to push, how each guy is different, and you have to handle individuals as individuals. You know, some guys respond to constant positive reinforcement. Some guys respond to, for lack of a better term, classroom sessions where you're diagramming things out and teaching them and explaining. Some players don't respond unless, metaphorically speaking, you kick them in the rump to get their attention. So there's a lot of ways to motivate players. The difference or the important matter with this is that you know how to motivate each individual player. And you find the key to doing that, and then you're on your way. So Jim Montgomery got a big head start with this job. He wasn't some rando coach coming in here. This is a guy that's got a history in St. Louis with the only coach that won a Stanley Cup in franchise history, Craig Berube. And now that he's back, he's putting that institutional knowledge of this team and its players, knowledge that he amassed while he was here. And it gives him a chance to get this team going quickly. And that's why I don't think this is a fluke type deal. Now, the Blues could absolutely level off, and it's a long season, and they're going to have stretches where they don't look so hot, and then we'll all be frustrated and blah, blah, blah. That's hockey, man. It's a long season. It's a grind. We all know that. But I don't think the Blues 3-0-1 start under Jim Montgomery is a fluke. I really don't. Because He's just got a really strong foundation as he comes into this gig. And I think we're seeing what that means. And I'm going to get into more details on that. But let's go through some things. I can also identify for you in this video where the Blues have changed, how they have changed, why they are different. Again, not accidental, random stuff, meaningful stuff. No, I don't expect them to go 3-0-1 the rest of the way for every four games they play. Again, I'm grounded in reality. But all of us knew what was wrong with the Blues. There was a lot wrong with the Blues, and we've seen fixes made already. not just like rah, 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 go team, I'm your new coach, let's all have a good time. And then the boys go out and they play hard for a while, and then they just kind of say, what's the point? We don't like this guy either, right? Bannister was a good man who tried, but his initial new coach bounce wore off, right? He was good after he replaced Berube last year, but, you know, it's a lot different when the job is yours. The big job is yours. You're not just a fill-in, right? And I think things just kind of found its natural level with him as a coach. Not trying to take a cheap shot at him, but I do think there's something about leadership. And it's a cliche, and it's not 100% applicable to every situation, but a really, really smart NFL executive told me one time, not a league executive, a team executive, said, when I said, well, you know, what do you look at when you're hiring a head coach? Because most of these guys have a lot of background. You know, you have a lot of background information. You know their jobs. You know where they've been. You know who they've worked for. You know the profile, the basic profile. But what else do you look for? And this gentleman said, and it's always stuck with me, this gentleman said, he said, well, in addition to all the football stuff, you just need to know. Can your guy fill the big room? And to elaborate, he meant, you know, there are like clubs in Vegas. There are big showrooms in Vegas. There are little side venues in Vegas at different casinos and hotels where you go into the lounge and someone's singing or doing something, you know, playing an instrument, and they're pretty good, but they're not in the big room. They're in the side room. The great ones can go into the big room. And they can play the big room, and they fit in the big room, and everyone pays attention, and everyone is like charmed by what they do. They just fill it up. And this gentleman told me, he said, listen, can he play the big room? I want to know, can he play the big room, or is he a side room guy? And I always think if you really give that some thought, there's a lot to that, right? And again, it's not entirely applicable. And some coaches maybe aren't ready to fill the big room, but the good ones, they're not quite ready, but the big ones eventually get there. They grow into the big room, so to speak. I think Montgomery is a big room guy already because let me find this. I'm going to actually, he was going to save this towards the end, but let me jump ahead a little bit because I talked about the big bonus in the Montgomery hiring being his time as Berube's assistant before we went to Boston, where he led the Bruins to a league best 7-15 points percentage during his time there. So he has a history with St. Louis players that gave him a chance to get a good jump. We've talked about that, but let me just add a second point here. As I just alluded to a moment ago, Montgomery isn't some random coach, right? He's led the Stars, the Bruins, and the Blues for a total of 302 regular season games as head coach. And among all of the NHL head coaches in the history of the league that have worked 300 or more regular season games in their careers, right? Montgomery's 662 points percentage is the fourth best in the history of the league among head coaches that have logged at least 300 games behind the bench as the leader. That's impressive to me. I know he hasn't won a Stanley Cup. I also know that sometimes it takes even the best coaches time to win a Stanley Cup, and 302 regular season games isn't a massive amount, but the point is what he's been able to do. Is the guy a winner? Can he lead a team? Can he make them better? Can he take the talent that he has and move it up, take it to a higher level? The postseason is a different challenge, but in terms of establishing that he knows what the heck he's doing in the regular season, well, if you take his experience in Boston and you add the Blues' first four games, and I know, small sample, the dude, Montgomery, has got the best individual NHL coach winning percentage since the start of the 2022-2023 season. I think that's good. I'll take that. Don't know about you, but hey, I'm good. I'm down with that. I like that. I think he came into the job with credibility. Like I said, he ain't just some random guy. But let's get into some of the nuts and bolts here, if I could. When I talk about, you know, we've seen the differences already. The key will be sustaining them and continuing along these lines. But I don't think these things are kind of outliers. I don't think they're kind of like, well, they're just on a little hot streak and think everything is going to cool down, really cool down. So, well, everything will cool down because, like I said, you can't go 3-0-1 for every four games you play. But let's get into this. So the Blues are 3-0-1 under Monty since he took over, and they've banked 7 of a possible 8 points that were available in his 4 games as the coach. They're 3rd in the NHL in points earned percentage since he replaced Bannister. Some of the differences are pretty striking. For example, the Blues had a losing road record before the coaching change. They were 4-6-1. Their points percentage on the road ranked 20th in the NHL. This team since Montgomery replaced Bannister is 3-0 on the road, and they have outscored the home team 12-3. So one thing you want to look at a team, can they go on the road and just like basically whoop the home team? Well, Montgomery's Blues have done that. It's a good early indicator. They're not just squeaking by on the road. They're going in there and taking over the place, right? There has been a huge change in the goal differential since Montgomery was put in charge of what had become a disorganized and demoralized hockey club that kind of lost its heart, kind of lost its way, kind of lost its love for the game collectively. We saw that team 4-9-1 in Bannister's final 13 games, the worst record in the National Hockey League since from October 26 until he was fired after November the 23rd loss to the Islanders on the road. The Blues just were just lapsing deeper into a coma, so to speak. They really were. So that's not the case with Jim Montgomery and the way this personality with his team has immediately evolved in a most positive way. Under Bannister, this is his 22 games before the firing, the Blues generated a share of only 41.7% of all the goals scored during their first 22 games. That ranked 31st out of 32 teams in the NHL. They were getting slapped around, is another way to put it. They had ceased to even be really competitive, especially during that 4-9-1 closing stretch. So 41.7% of the goals when he was their coach, 31st in the NHL. In Montgomery's 4 games, and again, I know, small sample, I'm all over it, the Blues have scored 70% of the goals during the competition. That is a fresh start level of dominance that ranks first in the NHL since he stepped behind the bench on November 25th at Madison Square Garden. The Blues have obviously improved their goal-scoring rate since the coaching change. But to me, perhaps the most telling statistic with Monty's Blues is how they have gotten back to what they need to do and what they used to do very well before things fell apart under Bannister. The Blues are suppressing the other team's offense. The Blues are just saying, you know what? It's going to be really, really tough to score on us, and we're going to make it as difficult as possible for you to score on us. And they had gotten away with that, or away from that, I should say. And I'll add some details here in a moment. But since Monty took over, the Blues have allowed just 1.5 goals per 60 minutes. Jordan Binnington and Joel Hofer have a .947 save percentage combined over these 4 games with Monty as the new coach. And that makes sense because of what I'm about to share with you. Before Bannister got sacked, the Blues were getting terribly overrun in their own end. They were 28th in the league in the share of scoring chances in a game, 28th out of 38, two teams, 27th in their share of high danger scoring chances, which is A grade scoring chances. We're basically talking about the slot and the crease, the prime areas, right? And the Blues were down near the bottom in generating chances in these sweet spot areas, which means the other team was down in your defensive end, generating all kinds of high danger chances and scoring chances. They were winning that territorial battle, the most vital, important, crucial part of the ice in front of the net. Blues weren't getting much done at all in front of the other guy's net. And the other guys were coming down, you know, in front of Binnington and Hofer and buzzing the net and setting up and creating traffic and just ruling that area of the ice, right? And when that happens, man, when that happens, good luck winning, okay? You can't. You can't. If they're in your end all night generating golden chances and you're kind of like getting nothing, you're not even getting the crumbs, you're straining to get an equitable amount of chances, the golden chances when you're on offense, well, what the heck do you think is going to happen? You're going to lose a lot of games and you're going to be really boring while doing it. So I said this before the coaching change. I said, you know, you can't expect Binnington and Hofer to save you every single night. These guys are under siege. They're doing a good job of keeping them in games. They've done a really nice job of stealing some wins that the Blues had no business winning, right? But you can't ask them to do this every single time you play. They can't build a fortress. They literally cannot build a wall in front of their own net. They were doing everything they could, but with the ice so tilted against them, if maybe that's the way to put it, at the time of the coaching change, the Blues were like 23rd in the league in save percentage. Things were cracking up because it wasn't really a fair fight. Way too much action in front of Hofer and Binnington. So Montgomery has cleaned this up because now they are limiting the other team's chances in front of the net from the sweet spots, the grade A chances, whatever you want to call it. The Blues have cut way down on that. And on the other end of the ice, the Blues are getting a lot more of those primo chances that they weren't getting before. Now they're getting them. So the ice tilt has kind of gone their way now. That's a big development if they can keep it up. Since Bannister's sacking, and remember when I told you that the Blues were down near the bottom in scoring chances per game and high danger chances per game, right? Well, since Montgomery took over, the Blues are ninth now in the first four games in their percentage of high danger scoring chances. Ninth in the league. And the percentage is improved by about 11%, which is a big shift over four games. The Blues, as I mentioned, they're controlling a larger share of the scoring areas. Before Monty, they were losing those battles. As I said, they weren't getting the puck in deep into their offensive end and keeping it in there to grind out a much larger share of these high danger shots and really sweet scoring chances. Now that the Blues have been more effective and aggressive in these areas of the ice that matter the most, Binnington and Hofer have reminded us once again that they can handle the rest. If you make it a fair fight, they can handle it, right? And their save percentage since the coaching change, which is going way up, reflects that, in my opinion. This is an important thing to understand about Montgomery. His philosophy is different. His philosophy is, you know, you look at shot attempts towards the goal. You look at the Corsi percentage, right? And he doesn't care about that. He just doesn't care about how many shots the other side gives off, because with him, it's about the quality of the shot, not the quantity of the number of shots. And in fact, the Blues have been outshot since he took over. But again, let's remember what's important. It's just not like shooting the puck all over the place from low percentage areas. from the perimeter, from the outside, you know, there's no one in front of the net and you're just kind of throwing it up there. It's like you're at a boardwalk carnival trying to win one of those games of chances. Well, let me just heave this thing. Maybe I'll win a stuffed animal. I doubt it's hard to do, but let me just fling this thing towards, you know, those milk bottles and you flip the rings to them at carnivals and all that stuff. Try to get it over the neck of the milk bottle. You know, you get one or two of those rings to fall on there. You win a stuffed animal. You know, well, that's what this is like. You know, just flinging shots that have no real purpose. Yeah, you're going to get some lucky goals every now and then, but Montgomery's emphasis always has been as a head coach. It's like, I want the prime shots, man. I want the prime cut shots. I don't want to play it like it's a carnival game where the odds are stacked against you, which is why people that run these games win over the course of time. Somebody may get lucky in their booth at the carnival, but sustained success, no. Montgomery's philosophy is all about getting the lion's share of quality scoring chances and the high danger zone chances. And if you're just on the outside flinging shots towards the net, again, good luck, because that's all we're talking about here. Good luck, especially if no one's up, no one's in front of the goaltender setting screens and blocking his vision, right? The Blues are now pressuring opponent goaltenders with more shots from those sweet zone areas. In the Monty system, as I said, quality is more vital than quantity, and the Blues are experiencing, in my opinion, an identity change. Because, again, they've changed the way the ice is tilted. It's now working in their favor. Don't worry about the total shots directed at a net. Take a look at scoring chances and high danger chances. That's what's changed for the better under Jim Montgomery so far. Another big difference after this coaching shuffle is accountability. And this is very important because it's really easy to lose NHL players if you try to be the nice guy all the time. They'll take advantage of you. On the other hand, if you're someone who's screaming in their face all of the time, that wears them down and they start to tune you out. You have to find that nice balance, right? And the thing about Montgomery, and I want to tell you a story that relayed through, of course, Matthew DeFranks, the excellent beat writer of the Post-Dispatch, covers the Blues. This is what Matthew DeFranks wrote at STL Today following the Tuesday morning skate in Winnipeg. And I'm going to just read this verbatim, what Matthew wrote. Quote, during the skate on Tuesday, Montgomery stopped practice to criticize his team for their lack of pace during the session and an absence of pride in their work. Montgomery repeatedly told his team that it was, quote, unacceptable. I think the coach got their attention, given how they came out and won 4-1 later that day. But when Montgomery was asked about this by DeFranks, he said, quote, I was not happy with the way we were prepared to start, meaning the morning skate. We were only going to be out there 18 minutes, and it should be a good 18 minutes. I know we had a day off yesterday, but you can't be sluggish. We are all here to do a job, and we've got to do our job. And the thing about Montgomery, he's very positive. He's very upbeat. He's very invested in each and every individual player, knowing what they need, knowing how to handle them, knowing how to get them going, knowing when it's right to support them with positive reinforcement, knowing when it's right to step in and hold them accountable and not be so nice. If you can strike that balance, you're going to have the locker room. You're going to have the locker room as a coach. You're not going to lose it. They all lose it eventually, but we're talking about in the early stages, the early years of being an NHL coach, right? It took with one team. It took Berube. Berube lasted a long time before the players started to tune him out, and that's when Doug Armstrong made the coaching change last season. And I talked about this already, you know, the stuff that Montgomery brings to this assignment, the history with the Blues and 15 players, the fact that, again, he's got the fourth best winning percentage of all time, NHL head coaches that have worked at least 300 regular season games. Here's my takeaway, finally. We're starting to see why Armstrong identified Montgomery as the coach he wanted all along. And I told you here on the Bernie Show, as you may remember or may not remember, as soon as Montgomery became available, I said, you got to go get him. That's the guy that Doug Armstrong waited for and waited for, hoping that the Bruins would have fired him after last season. That was his coach. That was his number one pick. No one else was even close. So when the Bruins fired Montgomery on November the 19th after a bad loss at Columbus, Doug Armstrong, he pounced. And just as I hoped he would, and just as he did, to me, there was no question. I had a high level of confidence that he would make the move, even though it would be viewed as harsh towards Bannister. You throw that stuff out, not to be cold-hearted, but you throw it out. The Blues season was already on the brink. They were slip-sliding away, their record getting worse by the day, the way they performed getting worse by the day, their motivation level getting worse by the day. Doug Armstrong had to do what he did. But I tell you what, I've said this because I've had a few people say, well, he wouldn't have done this if the team was in a playoff spot. Yeah. He would have hired Jim Montgomery under any circumstances. That was his guy all along. And now, if we didn't get the full picture of that, we certainly understand it now, because this coaching change seems like it's going to give the Blues a really good chance, certainly a much better chance of transforming a season that was already going off the rails. That'll do it for now. Might be back here in a little while. Thank you again for watching, and please leave your comments. And Blues fans, you say you want more videos. Here's a video. I broke down some numbers on Jim Montgomery's 3-0-1 start. I hope you found some of this informative. I just appreciate you for watching. Thank you very much.